the jury.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Defendant, rise and face the jury. How do you find the defendant? Guilty or not guilty?
We find the defendant, Philip Wayne.
This is the thrilling new transcribed program called You Are the Jury, devised by the famous criminologist Roy Post. Here is your chance to actually take part in a jury trial without leaving your own living room. The chance to find out what kind of juror you would make. But first, let's hear a few words from that friend of yours, the jeweler. You are the jury. All names and characters used in these dramatizations are fictitious, and similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. It is early in the evening of May 30th last as our scene opens in the office of the president of the brokerage house of Walters and Montgomery.
There's no doubt about it, Miss Hooper. This young cashier we employed can't be found anywhere. He's not at his boarding house.
But, Mr. Montgomery, I can't believe Philip Wayne would steal those bonds.
Well, there were $7,000 worth of negotiable municipal bonds. Maybe the temptation was too great.
Well, I don't know what to say, Mr. Montgomery.
There's only one thing I can say in a case like this. Call the police and have him located.
Now to the courtroom where Philip Wayne is on trial for the theft of $7,000 worth of municipal bonds. Be sure to listen carefully to all the details of the trial, for during recess, your local announcer will call out the names of the 12 jurors selected by your jeweler for tonight's trial, and your name may be among them. Wayne has protested his complete innocence of any knowledge of the theft. He has stated that he left the bonds in the trunk which he left in his rooming house before he made his hurried trip out of New York. As our scene opens, District Attorney Malone is addressing the jury.
And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the facts in this case are all too plain. Philip Wayne needed money in a hurry, so he took the easiest way out. He stole $7,000 worth of bonds from his employers who trusted him. Now, Philip is young. He must be taught a lesson. Maybe it'll make a better man of him after he's paid for his crime.
Mr. Defense Attorney, please proceed with your opening address to the jury.
Very well, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of this jury, Philip Wayne did not steal $7,000 worth of bonds from his employers. He did what any honest, conscientious employee should do. Rather than leave the bonds unprotected in the office of his employers, he took them home with him for safekeeping. They were safe when he locked them in the bottom drawer of his trunk in his room. Philip took the precaution of placing a padlock on the door of his room. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we do not know what happened in Philip's absence, for he's away from the city for 3 days. I believe Philip Wayne when he tells me he is not guilty of this theft.
Mr. District Attorney.
Yes, Your Honor.
Please call your first witness for the state.
Call Mrs. Margaret Lake, please.
Margaret Lake, to the stand, please. You raise your right hand. You tell me, sir, testimony about to give the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
I do.
Your name?
Margaret Lake.
Now, Mrs. Lake, you're the landlady of the rooming house where the defendant, Philip Wayne, lives?
Yes, I am.
Will you please tell this court and jury what you know of this case?
Well, all I know is that two detectives came to the house about 3 months ago, and they broke into Philip's room.
Try those bureau drawers, Williams. I'll look in this trunk.
All right. Nope. No bonds in this bureau.
And there's nothing in this trunk.
Say, lady, what's underneath this desk?
Look out. You'll knock that clock off.
Don't worry. If I break it, I'll buy you another one for 79 cents. Ticks like a machine gun.
Hey, listen, you. I wouldn't trade that 79-cent clock for any of your newfangled ones. Hasn't stopped going since the day I bought it.
No. There's nothing under here.
And, Mrs. Lake, didn't the detectives find any sign of those bonds in Phillips' room?
No, they didn't.
That's all. Your witness, Mr. Defense Attorney?
Your Honor, I have no questions to ask of this witness at the moment. I ask that the witness be directed to remain in court until such time as her testimony may be required.
Mrs. Lake, you're directed to remain in this courtroom until called. Proceed, Mr. District Attorney.
Well, Your Honor, before calling the next witness, I move for a short recess so that I may return to my office to confer with one of my assistants concerning vital evidence in this case.
Have you any objection, Mr. Defense Attorney?
None whatsoever, Your Honor.
Well, the court now declares a brief recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Now back to the courtroom where Philip Wayne is on trial for the theft of $7,000 worth of municipal bonds. The first witness for the defense has been sworn in, Miss Alice Wayne, sister of Philip. She is asked by defense counselor,
Where do you make your home, Miss Wayne?
With my mother in Clemville, Ohio.
Why did you send that telegram?
Mother had to be taken to the Clemville hospital, so I wired Philip to come home immediately.
I see. And when did Philip arrive home?
He arrived on Saturday about noon. And we both went right to the hospital.
How long did Philip remain in Clemville?
He left for New York on the 2 o'clock train the following Monday.
Then he was with you in Clemville from Saturday noon to Monday afternoon.
That's right.
That's all, Miss Wayne. Your witness, Mr. District Attorney.
Miss Wayne, how much did your brother make a week?
$37.50.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do for a living?
Well, I used to work in the Clemville department store. But I had to give up my job when Mother took sick.
So you and your mother were dependent solely on Philip's earnings?
Hmm? Yes.
And how much was your mother's bill at the hospital?
Oh, almost $400.
And your brother Philip paid that bill, didn't he?
No. No, he couldn't pay all of it. But he told me he would pay up every last cent.
I see him. That's all.
Call your next witness, Mr. Defense Attorney.
Philip, will you take the stand now?
You tell us all, Miss Ware, the testimony about to give the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your name?
Philip Wayne.
Philip, I want you to tell us step by step what happened from the time you received your sister's telegram.
Well, about 4 o'clock on Friday, Mr. Montgomery, my boss, came to the cashier's cage and handed me a telegram. I must have gone white as I read it, because Mr. Montgomery said...
Well, what's the matter, Philip? You look as though you're going to keel over.
This telegram's from my sister. Here, you'd better look at it.
I'm awfully sorry, Philip. Yeah, you'd better go right home and pack your grip.
Thanks, Mr. Montgomery, but I've got a lot of work to get out. But there's a train at 6:30, and if you could give me tomorrow morning off...
All right, Philip. Take Saturday morning off.
I'll have time to stay and finish up some work now. I can still make that 6:30 train.
And what time did you leave the office, Philip?
Well, I was alone in the office about 5:15 when one of the runners came in and handed me the package of Golden City Fives. He said he couldn't make delivery to Coleman and Company because their office had closed.
What did you do then?
I put the bonds in an envelope, addressed it back to our own firm, registered mail.
And was that the custom, Philip?
Yes.
You mean by putting it in the registered mail?
Yes. I intended to stop at the post office on my way home to pick up my grip. But when I got on the bus, I forgot all about it. So I decided the bones, or the bonds, rather, would be just as safe in my
trunk. Yes, I see, Philip. Now, don't get nervous. Just tell the court in your own way.
Yes, sir.
Now, Philip, when you left your room, the bonds were in your trunk. Are you sure of that?
Yes, sir. I'm certain.
That's all, Philip. Your witness, Mr. District Attorney.
Now, Philip, why didn't you mail those bonds?
I forgot. I had other things on my mind.
Why didn't you go back to the post office?
Well, then I wouldn't have been able to make my train.
You were more concerned with making your getaway with those bonds in your possession, weren't you?
I tell you, I left those bonds in my trunk.
Then why didn't Detectives Williams and McMartin find them in your trunk?
I don't know. I left them there.
Wayne, do you expect this jury to believe that $7,000 worth of negotiable bonds walked off by themselves?
No.
Then isn't it true that you walked off with them?
No. No, I don't know who stole those bonds. But I didn't. I tell you, I didn't.
Yes, maybe if you repeat that often enough, you'll almost believe it yourself. All right, Wayne. I'm through with you.
Your Honor. Your Honor. I should like to recall Mrs. Lake to the stand.
Very well. Let the witness be called.
Mrs. Lake, take the stand, please.
Mrs. Lake. How often did you clean Philip's room?
Every day.
And you went in there every day while Philip was away?
No. So how could I? The door had a padlock on it.
Did you have a key to that lock, Mrs. Lake?
I did not. I tell you, I never went in that room while Mr. Wayne was away.
Who did? Maybe you can tell me that.
No one went in that room. Don't try any of your tricks on me, Mr. Lawyer.
Why, Mrs. Lake, I wouldn't try and trick you. I don't have to. You've done very nicely all by yourself. That's all, Your Honor. The defense rests.
Is Philip Wayne guilty or not guilty? If he hasn't stolen the bonds, who did? Remember, there was a padlock on his door. Who could have gotten into his room? Or were the bonds never in the room? You will hear the verdict on the next broadcast of You Are the Jury.